Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another China Business Cast. We're at episode number 61. Surprise, we have Mike here. Hey, Mike.
Hey, hey. Shlomo, what's up?
I'm good. I know you had some busy time recently with the summit and there are some other stuff going on. How have you been?
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to keep up with you guys. And spring and fall are always rough for the South China manufacturing world because of the trade shows, Canton Fair and everything. So yeah, I mean, just catch my breath. It's getting into May, so people are going back to their home countries and events are slowing down. We had that amazing cross-border summit and other meetups and in the area. So it's good to be back to normal.
Yeah, we're going to say a few words coming up on what Mike was missing and I've been working on China Business Cast, just because you're too busy.
Things are getting back to normal. And yeah, maybe you have to have a catch-up show, like you say, Shlomo. So how about you? What have you been up to?
It's been good. Not a lot of new stuff, except of the group I'm going to speak about. But I was actually judging in a Guangzhou startup competition called Global Pitch 2017 just a few days ago. It's a global competition in Guangzhou coming up at the end of this month. And I was judging for the local competition in Israel. So we sent three finalists from Israel to that competition. And I hope the ones we chose will win. I think we picked pretty good ones.
Great. It's always, yeah, I mean, now you feel responsible. I've judged some competitions too, and I feel like they better keep going. They better win, right? So
yeah, you know that. So once you're in the competition, I mean, judging in the competition, then you get the finalists. There's also something more to keep in mind. It's what would be eye-catching while being at the competition. It's not always just the dry points that you get and then you decide of the winner. It's also thinking of what are their chances of coming up first on that competition that will get attention. And this is something that we try to do when also deciding on these winners in that local competition just a few days ago.
Cool. And yeah. And also you've been doing a great job with our WeChat group. I've been watching from afar. I try to jump in there, but we've been definitely getting more engaging. At not for this week's show, but the next show, you asked the WeChat group for questions and suggestions of the guests, and people were really giving us some great questions. And I think you incorporated it in an interview, right?
We've got a lot of WeChat group news. You guys can join in. We'll tell you in a minute. So I asked the audience to ask questions, and then I'll incorporate that in the interview. And we did have a few. There were so many coming up, so I couldn't ask them all. So I apologize for all the ones that I didn't ask. I didn't get to ask, but hopefully we're probably going to do this at the next few times. Depends on the future engagement, what people will say, and the feedback. So we'll see. We got other news for the WeChat group, and that we have Clayton now. So welcome, Clayton. He joined our WeChat group also as a moderator, because as the group grows, obviously there are more messages and people joining in. So you need somebody's help to lead it to the right direction. So Clayton is helping us with that. So thank you, Clayton. Yeah. Mike, you want to mention how people can join the group?
Sure, of course. So for now, while QR codes might be the best, I think still we have people adding you or me, and then we can get you into the group. So you can add, I guess I'll start with my username. It's my Italian last name, Michelini. M as in Michael, I-C-H-E-L-I-N-I. Again, I'll repeat it, M-I-C-H-E-L-I-N-I. And you can also add Shlomo. What's your username?
That's S-H-L-O-M-O, Shlomo F, S-H-L-O-M-O-F.
Great.
And there is also, you can also find these IDs at the end of each of the episodes, show notes, at the post of each episode at the bottom. You can find those IDs.
Yep, definitely at chinabusinesscast.com. And how about this week's show? Again, Shlomo's picking up my slack and did this interview on his own. So who do we have this week?
So this week we have AJ Warner. AJ is the founder of the top five education consulting firms in China called Touchdown. And he's been in Beijing for the past 11 years. And I know him from Beijing. He's the head of the Beijing chapter of Entrepreneurs Organization, which is an entrepreneurs organization which exists for many years now. You can hear all about that on the show because I asked him specifically about that. It's not for starting entrepreneurs. It's more for more experienced ones. You have to have different criteria to join. You can hear all about this in the show.
Yep, let's listen in.
Listen in. So hello, everybody, and welcome to another China Business Cast. Today, we have a very special guest, at least for me. I'm going to tell you why in a minute. AJ Warner is the founder of one of the top five education consulting firms in China, and I'll let him introduce himself in a minute and the stuff that he does. We just spoke before the recording, and I met AJ at 2012, and he just told me that we met for the first time in the Lean Startup Meetup in Beijing when I started organizing it. I actually inherited it from somebody else. So we're now doing, as he said, a full circle, and I'm very, very glad to have him on the show. So AJ, welcome.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me. I appreciate the opportunity to hear what I've been doing here in Beijing with your audience, and hopefully some of the information I share is going to be useful for them in their own China adventures.
You're a China veteran, so definitely we'll jump into more details, and I'm sure they'll learn a lot. But why don't you first make a short intro about yourself and the stuff that you do so people know more?
Well, I'm originally from Los Angeles, California. I was working for Deloitte Consulting when my wife said that she wanted to move home. My wife's originally from China. So that's how I ended up in China back in 2005.
Usually it goes the other way.
At that time, it worked the opposite for me. But it's great. It was fantastic. I was here for the Olympics, the whole entire buildup for the Olympics, which is a magical time to be in Beijing because the city transformed itself. Mm-hmm. So it was really something that never be done again. So I was happy that I had those memories of seeing Beijing change so much for the better. But when I got here, I was looking at doing what I was doing at Deloitte Consulting, which was a lot of business consulting and working with outsourcing. So I originally got involved in more of an outsourcing consulting role, working with the leading companies here in China. Mm-hmm. But I had been doing this MBA consulting even during my MBA program. And it was something I enjoyed. And when I came to China, I found out that there was a real need for professional services. So that sort of helped me to identify the idea of starting Touchdown Education to help people interested in MBAs to go to the top programs in the United States. There's a tremendous amount of interest in going overseas in China. And that hasn't changed since 2005 when I first came here. And the competition is so fierce. So many people want to go to the best programs. And people here have done great things, tremendous backgrounds, lots of achievements, but they don't necessarily know how to best share those in their essays with the admissions, how to stand out from all the other top applicants. And that's what we do. We really help the clients to figure out what is the right strategy that's going to best share their story in a way that will make them stand out and get accepted by the top programs for MBA. And then we do more than just MBA. We do business masters, which is finance, accounting, marketing, public policy. And then as time has gone on, our clients have referred us and we've gone down to do universities as well as boarding schools in the United States. So we really do the full spectrum of education consulting.
Yeah, I'm sure the spectrum have grown over the years. It's been 11 years now, right?
Yeah, it's 11 years. Yeah. And, this was the most interesting time in that one of my clients was actually younger than my son. So this was really, to me, eye-opening because it means how long that I have either been in China or how long I've been in this industry. I think it's both. I was kind of shocked because it just made me realize, how much time I've spent helping people go abroad. And now my clients are actually very young. And I've even had parents come to me with elementary students asking if they can send their kids to the U.S. And wow. I've said, no, I don't think they should send their kids that early. But the interest here is still very strong and people are determined to go to the best possible schools. And so that's why people come to my company.
So how did you decide to start Touchdown? And let's talk a bit about the difficulties at the beginning then.
Well, when I first came to China, it wasn't what I originally was starting. I had done other two businesses. One was more outsourcing consulting. One was financial consulting. Mm-hmm. And then we also did the education consulting. And so for the first year, very busy with three different businesses. And at the end of the first year, my business partner and I made the decision that education was, one, it was a big market. It was obviously a big and growing market, but we could really excel. We could really stand out from the other firms because we were very professional. We really treated the customers, our clients, very different here. We really focused on them developing as people and to really grow before they went overseas. So mm-hmm. we really, on top of that, we really enjoyed the experience of working and seeing people develop and knowing that we were making a big impact on their lives. So we ended up focusing on the education business by the end of the first year. And then ever since then, it's always been something related to education.
I understand. And 11 years, what are your main challenges today? One of the things that I see is continuing to thrive in Beijing. I mean, so many people are leaving and it's getting, I guess, more and more difficult. So maybe you can say a few words about this.
Yeah, the market here has definitely changed. I've seen personally, because I have teams and I rent facilities, the prices here have become very, very expensive. Mm-hmm. I'm paying New York rates for office space here, and I'm not downtown. I'm out in the, quote, suburbs of Beijing. So doing business in China is no longer necessarily cost effective. And then salaries have grown tremendously in the last 10 years in China. So running a business here,
in education
across all industries, the salaries have gone up. So that also makes it challenging to operate a business. Mm-hmm. But there's lots of reasons why entrepreneurs are moving. We see a lot of people moving from Beijing to Shanghai. Shanghai is a even more international city. A lot of people, particularly foreigners, enjoy the more international atmosphere of Shanghai. So a lot of the people I've known have made the transition to Shanghai. And then a lot of people, their kids have gotten older. And as their kids get older, that they want their kids back in their home countries. So mm-hmm. they make a transition for their own kids' education back to their home country. So a number of friends of mine this year are moving back to the United States because their kids are getting close to high school. Mm-hmm. And they want to make sure that their kids are in the U.S. in high school to prepare for their college education. But then again, a whole new group of entrepreneurs.
I see a lot of people moving to Shenzhen, by the way.
Really? Oh, yeah. Okay. Most of the people I've known have gone down to Shanghai, but Shenzhen is great. I have done business down there. It's a beautiful city. It's close to Hong Kong. It's transforming itself just like Beijing. It's just the skyline has just changed so much in the last 5 years. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
One quick thing I wanted to share about the challenges. You had asked me about the challenges when I first came to China. When we first came, no one knew us. And so at that time, we had to really prove that we were a legitimate company, that we were going to do a good job. So building up that trust was a big challenge. And I think that's for any business coming to China, unless you're, a Fortune 500 company with a very famous brand, you have to build trust. And it takes a lot of hard work to build trust in the Chinese market.
Was that the same name then? It was still Touchdown?
Yeah, it was still Touchdown. But at that time, we didn't even have a Chinese name. This is a really interesting story. when we came, we really wanted to emphasize we are not a Chinese company. We are a foreign company. So we picked a very foreign name, Touchdown. I'm a football fan, American football. Mm-hmm. And football to me is all about success. The teams work together to score a touchdown, which is why people get so excited because it's really difficult to do. And when you do it, you feel such a sense of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of why we called it Touchdown. But then we quickly found out no one in China knew what a touchdown was. So they have no idea what it is. It sounds like a sports company, which was a challenge. And when we first started, we didn't have Chinese characters. So in China, all companies have a Chinese name too. And we tried to do the company with purely an English name. Mm-hmm. And people couldn't pronounce it. They had no idea how to pronounce Touchdown. Mm-hmm. So we learned that and later on added on a Chinese name. And in reality, most people know us by our Chinese name than our English name, because it's just easier for people to remember. So that was kind of an interesting learning about how important.
How did you choose a Chinese name?
It took a lot of effort. We had everyone in the company coming up with ideas and throwing around ideas and different characters, because each character has a different meaning. And when you combine characters, they may sound good or they may not sound good, depending upon a variety of cultural reasons. So after about 2 months, we finally narrowed it down to Tuoda, Liu Shui Cixin Gongsa. So Okay. It took a lot of hard work, but the people love our name. So, you know, the hard work paid off.
You need to explain that to our listeners who don't speak Chinese.
About Tuoda? Well, it's the characters themselves together don't have...
Just what you chose, yes.
Yeah, the two characters, Tuo and Da, sounds like touch down.
Right.
So they sort of represent the beginning sounds of touchdown. Mm-hmm. And both characters have a good meaning. And together, they don't have any meaning. So it's very clear it's still a foreign company. But when people see the characters, they just feel good. And so that's mm-hmm. important. So when they see our name, they feel good. It's easy to remember. And that's important, too. And then we combined in our slogan, touch the sky down to earth. And people for the last 10 years have loved that. So we continue awesome. To use that as our tagline. So it worked out really well.
Wow, that's a good story. I want to ask you a little bit about your life as an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur as well. And for me, we always have, not for me, but for us, we have a lot of ADD. Like, what's the next thing? What are we going to do? How is it going to go? So after 11 years doing the same thing, don't you feel you want to do something else?
Yes, but I have been doing other things.
Okay.
You know, the main business has always been the education consulting side. And we've each, over a period of time, we've expanded to provide different services. So we started with MBA and then later on business masters, college, boarding schools. So mm-hmm. we've been expanding out that service. And each one is different. Each one requires different sets of knowledge, meeting new people, developing a new expertise so that we can really help our clients. So each one, in a sense, is like a new business. And then we've tried all kinds of extended businesses around what we do. So we used to help EMBA programs bring their students to China and organize tours. Mm-hmm. We help students go over to the United States and meet with different business schools and learn about schools from a firsthand perspective. Mm-hmm. Years ago, we had a career coaching service where we were preparing Chinese students how to find jobs in China. We recently have a new LinkedIn career service that helps students here understand how to use LinkedIn and how to get informational interviews, which is mm-hmm. really powerful. And in fact, 2 years ago, we started a career talent service in the U.S. So, you know, it sort of extends helping people go to the U.S. for education, because the main reason is they want to have better careers. So mm-hmm. in the U.S., we're helping Chinese college students and graduate students to find the right internships at companies in the U.S., and then some of those internships turn into full-time positions. So I actually have an office in New York City, and we're growing a team out there because there's a big need for this kind of professional service that really helps students to get that step, that foot in the door so they can get a job in the U.S., gain great experience, and then make a decision whether they want to build their career in the U.S. Mm-hmm. or come back to China and build their career.
I see.
So even though it's the same company, we've done a lot of different things. We've tried things. I've never been afraid to try new things.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
Because I always feel no matter what you do, you can always learn. And then you can apply that knowledge to something else. So some things don't work out. Some things we find out maybe the market size is too small. It takes too much work. You know, we find out a lot of different things. But we're constantly adding on that knowledge. And it helps us the next time we try something different.
I see.
Like the China Business Cast and want to get involved? We have special offers for supporters of the show, starting from just $1 and up. We have something for everyone. Check out all the different ways to engage at www.chinabusinesscast.com/support. That's www.chinabusinesscast.com/support. Thanks.
So as an entrepreneur, what do you think is the most important aspect an entrepreneur should focus building his company? And do you see any different difference between China compared to other places?
Well, for me, I mean, it's really important to understand what your market target is. So very clear about what you're trying to do in terms of the market, who you're serving, what your value proposition is. Because you need to understand that in comparison to who you're competing with. And in China, and I'm not sure in the US, I've actually not started a business in the US. I've started a business in Japan when I was much younger. And now I've started a business a decade ago here in China. But having a very strong sales channel is mm-hmm. absolutely critical here in China. Maybe it's not so important in the US. I'm not sure. But here in China, you know, it's so competitive. It is so challenging on many different levels that if you don't have a sales channel, you peer your product in every way. But if you can't get your product known by your target customers and them to be able to buy it, you're going to be in trouble. You're not going to be able to be successful. Right. So understanding clearly who your target is and having a very strong sales channel. Those two, if you have those, everything else will fall into place from my perspective.
Definitely, definitely. I see this as well with App in China for getting the best salespeople and obviously keep getting leads coming in. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we are competing with other companies, but leads keep coming. So I know that we're doing something right.
Well, that's good. That's great to hear. I mean, because you've picked a clear market. I'm not sure who your competitors are, but my feeling is there are not so many professional firms in the area that you're focusing on. So you can stand out. And especially for international companies that want to get their apps more well-known in China, I think you've been able to stand out as the premier company to work with. So that's great. And that's building that really strong sales channel. I know from being an EO, it's an entrepreneurs organization. I've been in this organization now for 7 years here in Beijing. And now I'm actually the chat.
That's my next question.
Oh, okay. one of the biggest issues that we all talk about during our meetings is sales, finding sales people, expanding our sales channels. Mm-hmm. This is really a critical issue facing every entrepreneur that I know in China. So that's mm-hmm. why I put it as one of the key things. If you can get that in place, your business will, you know, take off.
I see. Let's talk about entrepreneurs organization or EO.
But please ask me about EO. You mentioned that's the next question.
Yeah. So you are the chapter president, if that's the right title, in Beijing. We did have a few joint promotions with the Lean Startup Meetup. But how about telling us a little bit about this organization? And I understand there are pretty strict rules if you want to go into that organization. It's not everybody, any entrepreneur.
Yeah, it is a global entrepreneur organization. I think it's in about 52 countries around the world. We have 163 chapters. So in Beijing, we actually have two chapters. One is an English-speaking chapter. One is a Chinese-speaking chapter. Mm-hmm. The same thing in Shanghai. We have two chapters. And we have other chapters in China, other chapters throughout Asia. And it's a great support for any entrepreneur having a peer group that every month you meet with and you're accountable to and support you and gives you just a opportunity to share what's really on your mind. So for me, it's been invaluable as I've grown as an entrepreneur and facing lots of problems. And I need people to talk to. I need to share what I'm facing and be able to get not necessarily advice, but hear other people's experiences and be able to take from those what will help my business grow.
Mm-hmm. I see. And how do you get accepted to EO?
Well, EO, in order to be a member of EO, your business revenue has to exceed $1 million. And this is a global requirement. And or you have $2 million in investment. Mm-hmm. So those are the initial requirements. That's to be eligible. Then the members of that local chapter have to vote on you, whether or not to admit you. So you have to qualify for EO first, then you have to be accepted in the organization. So that's really a two-step process.
I see.
And then after you're accepted, then you'll be put in what we call forum. A forum is a group of entrepreneurs, typically between 6 to 12 entrepreneurs, and you meet with the same people every month on a specific day. And these are the people you build really a strong trust with, and you're able to share things that are on your mind, the top 5%, the bottom 5%, and know that everything you share is confidential. It will never leave that room. So it allows people to really get to what's on their mind, and you leave really refreshed, you know, with new ideas and ready to go back into mm-hmm. battle the next day and be able to share with your team new ideas and tweak your strategy or start something new because you've heard new ideas that really connect with you from that meeting.
I see. Does EO support any earlier stage entrepreneurs if you haven't got to that stage yet?
It does. We have what we call the accelerator program, and not every chapter has one, but here in Beijing, we started one because there's a lot of early stage entrepreneurs in Beijing. As you know from Lean Startup, there are a lot of people who are working hard to grow their businesses, but their businesses are still small. So for our accelerator program, you have to have $250,000 in sales up to 1 million. So if you're in that range, you can join our accelerator. We don't take any equity in your company. It's all about helping you increase your sales. So you meet with an accountability group. You have an current EO member that acts as a coach. And every month you come and you have certain targets that you take responsibility for hitting. You have people pushing you to grow your business. And then every quarter we have a training in Shanghai where we fly in a coach from overseas and go over the different areas of business from people to strategy to sales to finance. Mm-hmm. And it's a all-day training that's designed by a leading business consulting firm to help young entrepreneurs to know what they need to do to grow their business. So yeah, we definitely are looking forward to having younger entrepreneurs, or they could be even old, but early stage.
I see.
Because we want them to grow, get to that $1 million level, and then join our organization.
I understand. AJ, we're getting towards the end of the show, but on most of our interviews, we asked two questions, similar questions, all our interviewees. And the first question is, I want you to recommend two books that you recently read that you think would be very helpful for our listeners.
All right. Well, it's one book.
I read
quite often. Well, no, two books, but one book I read often because it's just full of knowledge and I'm always refreshing myself. It's called Scaling Up.
Okay.
It's the updated version of Rockefeller Habits by Vern Harnish. And actually, Vern Harnish is the founder of EO back in 1987, and he's still involved in supporting the organization, but he's all about helping businesses grow. And so his book is just fantastic, full of how to set processes that allow you as the manager or the owner of the business to be able to step out and let your managers and let your people take responsibility and really grow the business. So it's for anybody growing a business, Scaling Up is a book I highly recommend. And it's not just a quick read. I mean, it's something you read all the time and even get your teams to read so that everyone's on the same page. So that's a great book.
Okay.
Another one that I'm halfway through, I'm nearly halfway finished, is called Awesomely Simple by John Spence. I actually just met John 2 weeks ago at an EO training in Malaysia. And wow, he was just an amazing speaker. Full of energy and had great ideas. And really, his whole point is simple ideas that just will have a big impact on your organization. So I've already read half his book. It's just full of great stuff. I'm reading it slow because I'm taking lots of notes and getting good ideas on things that I can implement in my company that will help us as a team to grow stronger and help us as a company to be stronger in the marketplace. So those are two books I highly recommend, and they're just full of knowledge.
Okay, we're going to add those at the show notes so people can, we'll link to those and people can then buy them or download them, probably on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And the other question is, yeah, of course, Amazon are the kings of ebooks.
Yes.
Or books. The other question is about tools that you use to run your empire. What is a life server for you that you can't handle without?
Well, mine are not that original, to be honest. I use Evernote. I think a lot of people use Evernote, but I really use Evernote. I store everything on Evernote. So I'll copy and paste in articles that I see on the internet that are interesting that I don't have time to read, and I can read those anytime. I put in all my customer information and have everything organized by customers. So it's an invaluable tool. Everything I need is just either on my iPhone or my Mac. It's right there. So I'm a big fan of Evernote, and I recommend anybody read some books about how to really get the most out of Evernote, because people think it's a very simple tool, and it is, but it's really a powerful tool when you know all the other features and functions that you can use. So I'm a big fan of Evernote. The other one, the other tool is just pen and paper. At night,
that's advanced.
I write down everything that's on my mind. I know. I know, but people think you always have to have all the most advanced stuff, and sometimes the basic things can be so much more effective. So pen and paper, I just will write down everything on my mind before I go to bed. I get everything out of my mind onto paper. And then in the morning, I have new ideas. I put those on paper and then I look at it. And then from there, I prioritize all of the things that are really important and then set my schedule for the day and add things to my task list. Mm-hmm. And I find that it's just so easy to get everything out on paper. When I'm typing, I'm not the fastest typer. Mm-hmm. But when everything is all written out, then I can just take out the key things that are really important. And for me, that just works out great. I find trying to put everything into all these different apps, and there's always a new app that does something. Just plain old pen and paper is just perfect for what I need. It's just getting those ideas down while they're still fresh in my mind. I found too many times as I'm typing on different programs, the ideas disappear. It could be a sign of age, but they disappear before I can get them down. So now I really focus on using pen and paper and then transferring it over. And also it helps me to remember it better. You know, the fact of writing, for some reason, it's more powerful as a way to remember things, for me at least.
You know that not too long ago, I did a copywriting online course. And the way that we did that, the exercises is simply copying on with pen and paper, those ads, those either new ads mm-hmm. or old ads. But it was something that, you know, if you just mm-hmm. copy that, it just, how would I say, engraved on your mind much better than if you're typing. And also there are a lot of distractions when you're typing, you know, all these pop-ups and stuff. But mm-hmm. it's just the fact that you're online. So yeah, definitely going with pen and paper sometimes is the right thing to do.
Let me throw out one more that I think is really useful. I'm a big person on all these productivity apps in mm-hmm. the past. I used to try every one, and everyone had some good feature, but then the other features weren't that good and missing something. But I've sort of just narrowed down. I've deleted all of them, and I just use Fantastical. I find and it just has everything I need. It's easy to use. I combine my tasks and my scheduling with Fantastical. And it works on my Mac, on my iPhone, on my iPad. And I've studied how to use it. So they have all the user material, user guides. And so I've really learned how to do all the quick input and how to do the voice input. Mm-hmm. And because I just use one tool, I can get really good at that one tool. So for me, you can use lots of different tools, but you should really try to narrow down those tools to just a few and really know them well. And then you can get the most value from that tool.
Right.
That's my takeaway to everyone in the audience.
I'm going to look at that. I'm always in the lookout for new stuff.
There's so many apps. Sorry.
Yes. Definitely.
Your business is all about promoting apps, but there's so many apps. It's mind-boggling. So I'm trying to download less apps. Sorry about that. And focus on really knowing everything about an app. And actually, even send suggestions to Fantastical all the time about things that they can add. And it's actually a Japanese company, and they're very responsive. They haven't yet added any of my suggestions, but they're at least they say thank you. So it encourages me to send more to them.
Okay. I'm going to try it out. Okay, AJ, last thing. What's the best way to get in touch with you and connect if our listeners want to?
Excellent. You know, if you're interested in EO Beijing, if you're interested in learning about being an entrepreneur here in Beijing, or if you want to go to MBA school, feel free to give me a call. Or even better, send me an email. My email is ajwarner@touchdown.org.cn. And I'm in China, so by default, I use WeChat. So you can reach me at WeChat at ajwarner. Pretty simple.
Okay. We're going to add that to the show notes and people can get in touch. AJ, it was a pleasure having you. I'm really, really glad we had this interview.
Great catching up with you. I really enjoyed the opportunity to talk and share hopefully some things that are going to really benefit people interested in doing business in China.
That was valuable. Thank you very much.
Like the China Business Cast and want to get involved? We have special offers for supporters of the show, starting from just $1 and up. We have something for everyone. Check out all the different ways to engage at www.chinabusinesscast.com/support. That's www.chinabusinesscast.com/support. Thanks.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.